welcome everyone to the April 20th podcast of Casinos USA. Our major focus today is a trip report of our visit to Las Vegas, where Casinos USA has just come home from six nights in Las Vegas, Nevada. But before we get to that, we also had a call-in trip report regarding a casino in Montreal, Canada. Casino de Montreal is Canada's largest casino. And the call-in was made by Bill, who's actually a Pittsburgher, and he was following the Pittsburgh Pirates during the exhibition season before opening day. Well, here he is. Here's our caller, Bill.
This is Bill from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, calling about a trip to the Montreal Casino, or the Casino de Montreal, for French Canadians, located in Montreal on Notre Dame Island. This past weekend, I went with two buddies to watch the Pirates play the Toronto Blue Jays at Olympic Stadium in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. While there, we went to the Casino de Montreal, which is the largest casino in all of Canada. It opened in 1993, and next year it will be celebrating its 25th anniversary. Some of the features, there are three buildings. It's a non-smoking casino, and it has 17 different table games, including blackjack, blackjack switch, seven extra side bet, BJ Lucky Lady side bet, baccarat roulette, touch bet roulette, Caribbean stud poker, Pai Gal poker, Grand Prix poker, also known as Let It Ride, three-card poker, craps, war, sicbo, casino war, ultimate Texas Hold'em, and Texas Hold'em poker. And there is information on its official website, which can be found online. Nice venue, very friendly area up there, packed, very, very busy. Great time, and definitely worth trying for those who like to travel outside of the United States. And it is a nice addition to a trip to Montreal to check out the casino. Thank you.
Well, it sounds to me like Bill's really a big-time pirate fan. The go all the way to Canada, to Montreal, to see the Toronto Blue Jays play the Pirates in an exhibition game in Olympic Stadium. And I checked into it, and the Pirates got creamed that day. That's probably why Bill ended up in a casino with his friends. But I do know that leave the United States even to go to Canada, from Pittsburgh, it's not uncommon to go to Niagara Falls, spend a weekend. That 1950s song my dad used to sing, A Weekend in Canada. But now you need a passport. But we took a trip to Las Vegas, Nevada, and let me tell you, there was no passport needed. Other than flight tickets, we were flying Southwest this time. There was something else we was concerned about. Yeah, we were concerned about it, and it's not easy to talk about. But one of the distinctions, and I think any city would not want to get, Las Vegas just got. They made the top 50 list for cities with bed bugs. And so we took a product with us that claims to help eliminate bed bugs if you're in a hotel where there's bed bugs. And I went on Travelocity just to check the reviews. It's hard to find a hotel in Las Vegas from the most expensive, down to, just an ordinary kind of a strip outside of the strip motel. They're everywhere. There's always someone in the review sections that just complained about bed bugs. So you're going to hear our firsthand report. And yeah, we're going to talk about if we encountered these evil creatures. And if we did, how the hotel reacted to them. And we'll also, later on in the broadcast, discuss the product that we took that wanted to save us from these evil prehistoric bed bugs. Well, after 7 days on the Las Vegas Strip, hence the title of part one of this podcast, let me tell you, we didn't encounter any bed bugs. I repeat, we did not encounter any bed bugs. Hooray! I spoke to an assistant manager, not at the Tropicana, rather, but at the Luxor about this, and he said, that bed bugs, every hotel probably in America has had an encounter of them because they're actually brought in by the clients that go to the hotel. And he said, the question ought to be, what does a hotel do when you encounter them? And he says, they take care of it. They deal with it immediately and make it a priority, even if that means, moving you. But The point is, he said, there's a scam right now. This kind of caught my attention. There's a scam right now that people are taking pictures of little plastic bed bugs. You know, they look very real. And then they're coming down to the front desk, you know, on the Las Vegas Strip, and they're saying, look, you know, they stay there the whole night, but they come down in the morning and say, look what we found in our bed in the morning. Look, you know, this and that. And we have pictures. But, of course, when the hotel management goes up to the room to check on it, there's nothing there. And they say, well, they just got away, you know. But it's a scam. So I can understand that, too. But in my estimation, from what I talk to management and also speaking to people around the pool, et cetera, talking at the bar, it's true that Las Vegas is now in the top 50 list. In fact, I think they are 20th, but every major city in the United States has this issue, but it's not commonplace. I think what happens on a lot online, people have some complaint and or they lost money gambling and they just overstate or make up situations. That's my take on it. So we'll discuss the product that we took just in case you're worried about it as we were. You know, you spend a lot of money on flight tickets and hotels, and, you know, you don't want anything like that. But I think it's vastly hyped, so I wouldn't worry about it. We didn't encounter them. Both hotels, the Tropicana and the Luxor, we had a king bed at the Tropicana, and that was courtesy of Marquee Gaming. They were totally free. We didn't even pay resort fees, so that we had no charges at all for our room. And it was nice. And the Tropicana is the hotel part's run by DoubleTree Hotels, an experienced chain. And we asked for the club tower. I'd make a suggestion to you if you stay at the Tropicana to ask for the club tower. And then I always ask for something close to the elevator. So we were on the seventh floor, and we could go right down. It opened up on either at the casino level or at the pool. You just walk right out, and you're at the pool. So that was very nice. Very clean room, very, very nice. The decor was, you know, attractive. The decor of the Tropicana has been changed dramatically from my last visit there. I always thought it was one of those places that were kind of just worn out. But they went to, it sort of looks like if you go into a nightclub in Central America, I'm using my imagination, the whole place is very bright and it's white. What they've done is taken from the front door of the casino all the way through to the hotels, they've used a white tile floor. Now, there still is casino carpeting, you know, that strange carpeting. It's almost all the same in every casino. But they have the walkways, you know, the major walkways through the casino and through parts of the hotel are very white tiles, you know, shiny white tiles. And it's almost like a Cuban kind of motif, you know, the Tropicana. And it's very different. It's very bright. It kind of throws you for a while, and you have to get used to it, I think. But it comes across as making everything appear to be very, very clean. I had forgotten, in my memory, how small the Tropicana Casino was. I mean, it's small. There was only one craps table operating the entire time we were there. There were two craps tables, but even the number of slot machines and other table games, but still it was managed very well and it looked very clean. People were coming back to the Tropicana. And I think what it is, of course, you're on the southern end of the strip and, you know, that's not too far away from the action. You know, you can move about easily from the Tropicana. And it's very inexpensive in comparison to some of the other properties, just a little bit closer to the middle of the strip. So unless you're looking for a millennial nightclub, which it doesn't have, I would say, you know, it's a decent place to consider. Now, the pool is also very clean. The pool grounds are clean, etc. So we were impressed. And of course, we weren't paying anything, but I didn't see anybody disappointed or complaining in our conversations with people. So I'm going to give a B plus A minus to the Tropicana as how it looks in comparison to how it used to look. Checking in was very simple because we checked in on a Wednesday, you know, so there weren't massive lines there. And we checked out on a Friday. And from there, we went over to Luxor, all of us. And I had a pyramid suite with my wife, Janie. So let me just take a short break and we'll talk to you about that whole experience of checking into the Luxor Hotel and Casino. Listeners may have encountered our social media. This was my 26th trip to Las Vegas. And that's a number, you know, you think when I live over 2,000 miles away, that should tell you something about my relationship to Las Vegas. But I do know checking into any of the major hotels on a Friday is a different experience. I think there's an experience, there's a Las Vegas that we can experience on the Strip, a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday Las Vegas, and a Thursday Las Vegas, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday Las Vegas. And it's not the same. I mean, it's not the same a number of people. It's not the same experience necessarily because some of the shows and some of the clubs aren't open on any one particular day. So it's a little different. You can walk a little more freely. Then there's the weekend experience in Las Vegas. And, you know, prices are elevated. The millennial nightclubs, you know, bring thousands into some of these casino hotel areas. So it's just different. But checking in, if you're coming to Las Vegas and you're checking in on the Las Vegas Strip on a Friday, spend the money for mobile check-in. Now, sometimes it's called express check-in, kind of a dated phrase, but most of the chains are now, or the hotels rather, are using the term mobile check-in. And it was $15 at the Luxor to do that. All right, so let me just tell you how that works. So we were going to check out of, we were checking out of the Tropicana Friday morning. And I'm an early riser. You know, I just have been all my life. I had for work. You don't want to hear about it. Anyway, so I was at Starbucks on a coffee run at 6 a.m. because Starbucks opened at 6 a.m. and I was the first one to be served. The Tropicana during the week didn't have a 24-hour-7 Starbucks, but anyway, so I was there ready to go, and while I was standing in line, I went through my email, and I received a mobile email about checking in at the Luxor, and it said, tell us what time you would like to check in, and we'll contact you by email when your room is available. So, you know, we were getting out of the Tropicana at 11, most of the places would give you an hour, you know, if you call down at the desk. Not most of them, not all of them. Some would charge you, you know, if you insisted, but most of them would give you an hour. But I thought, hey, you know, let's speak to crowds. Let's try to get over there. So I re-entered my information when I got back to the room, you know, the confirmation number, credit card, etc., and explained that we'd like to get there anytime after 11:30. So it had to be an hour later. I got an email back with your room is ready. And then, you know, one of those digital bars, you could just go to the mobile. So I thought, this is nice. You know, it's nice. Okay. Well, I found out how nice it is. You know, our gang, they all went different times. Some of them had some things to do and they were going to come later. And, you know, we were on our own. So my wife and I checked. We went in over, got a cab, and went over to the Luxor, and I want to tell you, there were so many people. You know, the front door is underneath the Sphinx, so that's, you know, you can go into casinos from a number of entrances, but the front near the registration desk, and there's about 50-yard long circle of registration desk. There had to be, and this is. I want to say 10 to 12, 5 to 12 noon. There had to be 300 people in line. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? I mean, they look like they were suffering. You know how it is. And there were a lot of kids. And oh, my goodness. And, you know, there weren't really a whole lot of seats. There were some seats. But most of the people were forced to stand. It looked like to me like it was going to be an hour or so, you know, the wait. I can't give you an accurate figure. But I did look over and I found two mobile check-ins. There was nobody there. There was a woman there, an employee, but there was nobody there. And I'm thinking, I'm sure these people just didn't know, because I think the people in line at that time would have said, here's $15. Let me check in there. And I went over, and she said, do you have the, you know, the digital bar on your phone? I said, yeah. And then she looked at it, scanned it, bang, gave us our package. She said, would you like a bellman? And my wife said, yeah, get a bellman, because we had never stayed there before. We didn't know our way around. And really, I wanted to ask questions, and I'll tell you about that. That's something we do, whether we're doing a podcast or not, is, you know, talk to the bellman when we check in, you know, if it's all possible. You know, so we didn't know our way around, so, and we knew we had a suite, so we thought, hey, let's do that. But our check-in, honest to goodness, had to take 2 minutes. And I'm thinking, these 300 people are probably looking over at me thinking, what? Who's that guy? You know what I mean? He must be some high roller. Because, I mean, bang, you know, we're going towards one side of the elevators. And, oh, my goodness. So we were on the 16th floor. And the suites are on, if you can picture this, the corner of the triangles. And there, the space is massive. I mean, it's almost 800 square feet. And what we had is, when you go open the door, we had two queen beds. And of course, my wife said to the bellman, don't go anywhere. I'm looking for bed bugs, which she had checked up online about looking for evidence. And there was nothing. It was, the place was immaculate. And then there were, on a slant, you realize one side of the room, the wall slants, because that's the triangle on the exterior. And it was almost like all glass there. And it was built up, and there was a, wasn't a small tub. It didn't have jets, but it was a two-person tub, and it was deep. I mean, you could sit in it, and you could bring water up to your waist. It was a deep, deep tub, kind of cool, you know. And you could sit there, you know, I guess it's just romantic to look out at night. You know, a glass of wine, beer, whatever your favorite, you know, that you could do that. And then there was a television. There was an armoire with an Egyptian motif. And then there wasn't a door to the other room. There was a large wall. It was just kind of divided, but it was clearly away from the beds. And there was a television there. Another stand also housed a refrigerator, a small fridge, a television. There was almost like a card table, but, you know, of course, it was furniture, but that size of a table. There were two chairs. There was an easy chair. And then there was a full-length sofa. And that was on the other side. And it was just all this space. It was just unbelievable amount of space. And, you know, I'm sure you could bring rollaway beds in there or whatever you did. But I was very impressed. And, you know, I don't do a lot of M-Life play. But I took advantage of 40% off. And so I think I had, my bill was just about $700, you know, for 4 nights. So this, the thing that was costly about that was it was on a weekend. You know, if you're staying at the Luxor and you're going to get a suite and it's Sunday night through Thursday, you know, you're in great shape. I mean, you won't believe, go online, you won't believe how inexpensive it is. And I would tell you to get a suite. I don't know how you feel about how much time you're going to spend in your room, but it's so nice. This is so big. It's so nice. If for one person, or if, you know, if you're in a group, for two people to go to the other side to watch television, sit over there to talk, whatever, you know, have a drink, anything you want to do, it doesn't disturb the people in bed. That's what's so nice about a suite. And as I said, you know, some nights I'm in bed rather early. Other nights I come in, you know, 2 a.m. and I don't want to jump right into bed. I can go over there and sit, you know, catch up on the news or whatever. It's just so different. Now, again, we didn't have a suite at Tropicana, and we enjoyed it. We enjoyed the king bed and all that. But, man, when you can get a suite, get a suite. And we knew we were going to be at the Luxor for 4 days, and so we can give you a pretty good take. It gets a lot of bad raps. I mean, the glory of Rome is of another day. Didn't Tony Bennett start singing that? I left my heart in San Francisco. But it was built in 1993. And when it was first built, it was the property, you know, this giant pyramid. But it's on the comeback. And the management there is excellent. We did not encounter at the Luxor any person who was short with us, rude with us, everyone went out of their way to be so polite, and very clean. You know, forget what you read online. I can tell you, Jill Nicole, who's a member of the team, lives in Las Vegas, and Kelsey was there with another group, and Patrick came, and they just couldn't believe how clean it was because they had all read those reviews too, and it's really impressive. And some of the features they have, they're going to have places there that are open 24/7. You know? Most importantly, they have three Starbucks, and one is open 24/7. So that's big. And if you're a coffee snob like me, you know, you want a Starbucks, you want that security, that is going to be open. So they have three of them. And that's one advantage of the larger venues on the Strip. You know, they'll have delis, et cetera, places, food courts, you know, small shops. They'll be open 24/7, you know, for candy bars, pop, you know, beer, cans of beer, et cetera. And that's a feature that you don't find in some of the smaller properties on the Strip. But the Luxor does a great job. I want to just close out this description before I talk a little bit about Craps Play. The bathroom in that suite, it had a beautiful shower and very large counters and a center, but there was so much space you could put a craps table. We couldn't get over, like, they put so much space into this bathroom. You know, you could park a subcompact in there, you know, a car. It just, and it was very nice. We were just shocked by how big it is, you know. So if you have any fear of a crowded bathroom, and of course that was away from that tub, that was away from the beds and away from the room. It was right by the door when you opened to come in. There was another door that opened to right by the front door of the suite that opened into the bathroom. So it was very private. You know, you're away from where people were seated. So I'm going to give the Luxor an A, not an A+, because, you know, there are certain things that are dated. I thought the craps tables were a little bit worse for wear. Now, remember, if you stay at the Luxor, you're really staying at three places because there's a tram and there's walkways. And don't forget about the walkways because they also have shops and pubs and little places that I'm sure you'd find something you enjoy. They have a lot of eateries in those walkways. And I'm talking about the walkway from the Luxor to Mandalay Bay, which is not that far, or the walkway from the Luxor to the Excalibur. You know, they're among the little worlds themselves. And they're clean, well-lighted areas. But what's nice about staying at the Luxor in the southern end of the Strip is they have this tram. And the tram is free. It's one of the last things in Vegas that's free besides air. I mean, it's free. So you can take the tram and scoot to Excalibur. And then from Excalibur, you can easily get into New York, New York. I mean, very short walk. Or you can take the tram and go to Mandalay Bay. Or again, you can take those walkways. So you're really staying at three properties in some ways. I went over and played. I had stayed at Mandalay Bay for my son's wedding. And my wife and I enjoyed Mandalay Bay, certainly on that wedding. But their casino looked a little brighter to me. And I think some of it's a matter of taste. You know, I don't like playing in darkened areas. The Luxor is a more darkened, subdued area. The Luxor comes across that with that vibe, except for the registration area, which is well lighted. But Mandalay Bay is, may not appeal to everybody, but it appeals to me. It's more lighted. You know, it's just brighter in there. And I have excellent vision. It's not that. It's just appeal. I just like playing in tables that are, you know, more light than dark. That's just how I feel about it. Something that M Life should get credit for. One of the few places on the Strip, and I didn't expect this at all, on the craps table, on the field, Snake Eyes pays 2-1, and in most casinos in Nevada, the 12 in the field also pays 2-1, but theirs pays 3-1. The odds, M-Life odds are 3, 4, 5, and that doesn't rile me. I know Dr. Mike and Mark Duvall are always talking, but I'm not that kind of gambler. I'll go 5 times odds at the Rivers in Pittsburgh, even though you can go 10, you know, and I play there several times a month. But I'll go 5 times odds. I just don't want to put that much money at risk. And so I don't have any problems with 3-4-5 at all. It doesn't bother me. And I'm not strictly a pass line player with, you know, an odds bet behind it. So it's no big deal. But I am excited when I see a field that has a 12 that pays triple. And I didn't bring a giant budget to gamble. You know, we're going to be there 6 nights and 7 days. So I figured $1,800 was my gambling budget. And, you know, I didn't want to go over that. And, you know, because truthfully, people weren't going to Las Vegas to gamble the way they once did. You know, there's gambling in 40 states. And like I say, I can, without spending money for airline tickets, I can jump in, you know, our Mustang or our Lincoln, and I could be at the Rivers Casino in 33 minutes. You know, I could be at a crab stable. And all it cost me is, a buck or two in gas. Come on, you know what I mean? I don't have to spend $800,000, $900,000 to fly for round-trip tickets to Vegas. And gambling as a percentage of revenue on the Strip, it's down incredibly. It's you know, you go through the Strip casinos, and we went to nearly all the properties on this one, you know, just with our coupon books, et cetera, having fun. But believe me, they're empty during the day. They're empty during the day. When there's major events in casinos or the weekends, you know, they're crowded. But during the week, you would be shocked. And then in the wee hours, you know, 5 a.m., 6 a.m., 7 a.m., it looks like they're closed. I mean, they're not, but it looks like they are because there's so few people. So what Las Vegas has done, in my view, they just up cost everywhere else. I mean, the day of things being so free everywhere you go, or very low cost food everywhere you go, you now have to know something about where you are and how to find those kind of deals. You have to do some research. My wife, in part two of this podcast in 2 weeks, is going to talk about the restaurants that she's going to critique several of them. I'll sit in and talk to her, keep her straight. But she'll tell you where you can go to really have great food that's very inexpensive. And she'll review at least 3 restaurant things that she wanted to do that. But those days are gone. It's different. So, you know, coming out of the Tropicana with just the one craps table during the week that's operating, you know, and I played smart craps. Actually, all the guys played the same way. You know, you bet it was a $10 table, so you had $10 on the pass line, and I had a hedge, three-way craps coming out, and then you put 3-4-5 odds behind it, and maybe you place a couple numbers or you make a couple combats with 3-4-5 odds on them. You know, we played that way. And after 2 days, you know, I figured once it was about $230 up, or maybe just $200. We were paying cash. I know the crew had a lot of free beers. They got their money's worth. But, you know, we left up. I'm going to be honest. I mean, it was a little bit more than $200. It wasn't much more, but it was about $200 up plus a few bucks. And, boy, cabs eat that up, you know. So I was just going back and forth at the Luxor. And, oh, my goodness. I started to go down. And I couldn't do anything right. Now, you know, I've been playing craps for a long, long time. And I'm down 900, 950. And my wife was playing shoot-to-win craps. You know, those big dice. And she enjoys sitting there and teaching women how to play craps. And that's at the Luxor, it was $3 minimum on a pass or dome pass. And at the Tropicana, it was a $2 minimum on a pass or dome pass. And, you know, she was having fun, and she was up a little bit. And you can play every bet you can make on a craps table, on a shoot-to-win craps machine, you can do the same. The hops, everything. Anyway, so she came over at the worst time, you know, and she said, how you doing? And, you know, the last thing I'm going to do is BS her, man. We go way back. And I said, hey, I'm over $900 behind. And she said, well, you know, you better think about pulling the plug, you know. Sometimes you do have to surrender. And I said, yeah, you know, so... Well, table was pretty crowded, so I was playing the Fremont Street Grind. That's 5, 6, 8 filled. So here's what I had, and this is I talked about this with Janie, and she said this is exactly what you had when you started. I had an $18 6, which pays $21 if it hits. I had an $18 8, which pays $21 if it hits. I had a $15 five, which pays $21 if it hits, and a $10 play on the field. Okay, so that would just pay $10. So if a 5, 6, or 8, I'd win 21 minus 10, right? So it was an $11 win because I'd lose the field bet. That's where I was in my thinking. Anyway, so a 12 comes up. So I don't lose the 5, 6, or 8, but I get $20 because, excuse me, $30 because I had a $10 bet. So this is great. So I press the field bet. One unit, I have 20 on it, and I put $15 on three-way craps. Well, what happens next is a deuce comes up. So now I get double on the field, all right? And 150 on three-way craps because, you know, 30 to 1, I had $5. So I press three-way craps. I have $10 on it. And I pressed to field another 10. So now I got 30 on it. And a ace deuce comes up, a three comes up. So my wife says to me, I'm coming back. So my wife says to me, you remember Doug? She loves to call her Doug because, you know, he's saying he goes for it, man. So take a chance. So I press. I ends up, I have $90 on three-way craps, 30, 30, 30. And I think it was 50 or 60 on the field and no BS. No, I wasn't throwing the dice. If somebody have no idea what it is, God bless them. So they throw another 12. All right, so just on three-way craps, I win $900. Plus the field plays triple. Oh, my, my, my. And I should have bet to come on the next one because I knew it wasn't going to go on. Or I should have just, you know what, I'm not going to complain. Anyway, that put me up several hundred dollars. I mean, I was the comeback kid. I mean, I was thinking, what if I just walked to the table that way? You know, I'd be over $2,000 easy. But that just happens. I was behind. And I normally wouldn't chase losses like that. But truthfully, caller Doug, I want to meet him in person, you know, hook up sometime in Vegas maybe and buy him a beer or a cup of coffee, whatever he'd like, because only because I took the chance. And the guys I were with, a couple of them also followed me, but not with the same amount of money. And they came either to even or a little bit. Everybody was happy. I mean, you know, the five of us that were out there together, everybody was happy. And my wife was happy because I wouldn't have done it without her telling me to do it. You know, like, you know, man up, you know, cowboy up, whatever you want to say. And of course, she had been the expert, you know, teaching people how to play craps. So I want to compliment M Life and the Luxor and Mandalay Bay for that payout because that's pretty rare. 3-4-5 odds, that might bother some people, but it doesn't bother me. Now, I saw a $5 table at the Luxor early on a weekday morning. We stayed Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night, and flew home Tuesday. And early Monday morning, I was down buying coffee at Starbucks. And I walked over drinking the coffee just to walk around. And my wife was sleeping. And there wasn't anybody playing craps, so I just went over. There was people there to run a table, but I didn't want to play by my, you know, alone. So I just walked around, and, you know, it was, what are you going to do? It was fun. Anyway, they had lowered the table limits to $5, and I don't know how long that goes on in the morning, but it was nice that they do have a $5 table on weekday mornings. That was a good thing, and I want to mention that. I wanted to talk a little bit about both swimming pools at the Tropicana and the Luxor. The Tropicana, a large portion of the pool, one end of the pool, goes under the club tower. And so it's in the shade. And I want to mention, if you have kids, that's great because you can let them, you know, you worry about sun in Las Vegas. You know, you can get them swimming in the shade all day or, you know, under your direction. It's plenty of room to swim in the shade. And the Luxor has, you know, columns, you know, like you're in ancient Egypt, and they cast shade. And there are certain areas in the Oasis pool area that are shady. So you can have your kids swim in the shade there too. Those are two features I thought were pretty special about the pools at the Luxor and the Tropicana. More shade at the Tropicana, but still there was shade at the Luxor. both casino hotels had private pools too. You could spend $10, get catered a little bit better, you know, a little more faster service, make sure you have a chair, you know, that kind of thing. So you don't want to swim where it's crowded. Well, the pools weren't crowded anyway. But if you do want that kind of thing, they both offer private pools, $10 a person. And both of them had excellent cabanas. We didn't have a cabana. We didn't do that. But you could see they had some beautiful cabanas, you know, for later on in the summer. I suppose they'll have opportunities for that. Okay, let me talk about the product. Just to, if you really are concerned about bed bugs and just traveling anywhere, and we travel so much, my wife and I. So let me just talk about this. The product is called Stop Bugging Me. It safely kills and prevents bed bugs. And it's a spray. And you can spray around your bed. There's great design. There's a great information about it. And it's you can spray on chairs, any place, sofas, etc. And the bugs will just avoid it. It also will kill them if they do touch it. But it creates a scent that they just don't want. And again, it's called Stop Bugging Me. It's ready to use insecticide. That's simply what it is. So check that out. It might give you a peace of mind in your travels, because across the country today, bed bugs are on the rise a little bit, and you know, it just takes some peace of mind. Okay, now next, in part two, in 2 weeks, my wife will be talking about her coupon books and our travels on the Strip. I'll be with her, but she'll be talking more than me. And she'll be rating 3 restaurants. And she's a tough cookie, man. But we found some good ones, and we also noted that some of them are getting some great publicity because everybody else thinks they're good, too. In fact, one of the best new restaurants on the Las Vegas Strip, according to the local papers, and we agree, might have been one of the best restaurants in the top 5 of our life, is in the Tropicana. Hey, no fooling. This is an incredible restaurant, and we're going to talk specifically about it in 2 weeks. That's Janie and I will be together talking about that. What an amazing, amazing restaurant. So stay tuned for that. And we have a ton more information about gambling, craps, other things, slot machines, video poker that we'll be talking about. And we're so excited to bring that to you. That'll be in 2 weeks. You have to identify yourself completely. And we've enjoyed, you know, we're over 15,000 listeners, and we're going to be into the 20s here very soon. So, you know, we're getting out there. We appreciate it. We appreciate your support as always. So, Casinos USA, a place where every day is Saturday. See you in 2 weeks. Before we go, I'm going to ask you to remember our answering service. Give us a trip report, ask a gambling or a travel question. Tell us about your casino capers anywhere in the United States, coast to coast. And we'll try to do our best to play your call on our national podcast. So to reach us by telephone, call our answering service at 1-724-519-4556. That's 724-519-4556. And thank you, everyone, for your contributions via the Amazon link on our website. That's www.casinosusa.bet. casinosusa.bet, B-E-T. You can also contact us via our Facebook page at Casinos USA.